You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, this is Nomar Slevic, host of the I Want to Believe podcast, and you're listening to the Ghosts in the Valley podcast. Okay, I'm excited today to have Leslie Robertson, or also known as L.D. Robertson, author out of Scotland. It's always cool to have somebody across the waters back on the show. And welcome back, Leslie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Al.
I know we're going to talk about your new book coming out. What, this week?
It should be this week, or could be the week after. It should be soon, very soon.
Before we get into all that, I mean, let's give a little refresher course on your background. What got you interested in writing on vampires?
Well, I've always been a Twilight fan and a fan of Vampire Diaries and also like Outlander, which is more Scottish kind of side of it. And I wanted to write something more about vampires in Scotland alongside, like, they walk among us with other mythical creatures. So my first book, which I just happen to have here, this is Fear Lieth, Immortal in Scotland, which I talked about on the last podcast. And it basically sets the scene. I wanted to write about vampires that were quite human, had human feelings and dilemmas, but they were probably exacerbated by the powers that are hidden by evil kind of sorcerers or other mythical creatures.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I know before we talked and he was kind of questioning, does your genre fit in my show? I said, oh, most definitely. You know, I thought about that since then, and I've had a few guests really like what I said about, you know, if you go into a museum, you're not going to find a ghost in a cubicle or an alien or a vampire or a werewolf, you know, or Bigfoot. You're not going to find those in a cubicle. So, yeah, most definitely. I mean, anything that's unexplained, and, you know, and I've been doing some history on the vampire since I went to the vampire crypt here in the U.S., you know, and in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
And it was a crypt that has a legend of being haunted by vampires, you should look that one up. It's in Erie, PA, the Erie vampire crypt. Five bodies in that crypt, right? And it's got a lot of history to that, you know. And it's always, vampires always fascinated me, even of folklore or whatever, you know. It's the fascination of the vampire and bringing these creatures or people to life through your words. You know, through your first book, which is exciting because you released your first book.
Yes.
It's the same time I released my first book last year, you know.
So we did.
And it's always tough, like you were saying on your website, you know, getting reviews, you know.
Yeah.
Like pulling teeth.
I know. I think I've got four or five 5-star reviews, which I'm grateful for, very grateful. But it's just really getting it out there and getting people to, one, write reviews if they've read the book. Because there's obviously a lot of people who've read my book who haven't left reviews. But how do you get to them? And you think, well, why haven't they read wrote reviews? And then with my second book coming out, I'm thinking, well, okay, it's all still new. It's still just a year. How long does it take for people to pick up and buy a book or find you?
You know, there's some people just don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Getting into your first book, Fear Lieth, Immortal in Scotland.
Yeah.
Let's get a little review on that one first.
So it starts off with a protagonist who's called Sarah. She's a 24-year-old cardiac nurse, which is like not the age, but myself, I'm like cardiac background in nursing. So I wanted to write something about a young nurse who, you know, she's finished her shift. She works hard. She loves people. She has a great kind of fondness and dedication to her job. She lives in a flat in Seattle in the USA. And one night, coming out of her job, crossing the car park, she gets bitten by a vampire. And then she meets some, you know, there's the turmoil of that, having to deal with transforming into this beast. And there's this pull and push of our mortality and our morals and her reaction to death and becoming a vampire. So she then gets told to flee Seattle because there's a big kind of war coming with the royalty of vampires. And so she thinks, well, where can I go? Well, I need to go somewhere. It's quite dull and overcast, but pale-skinned people. So why not go to Scotland? So she ends up in Glasgow initially, and she, you know, tries to fit into society by getting a cash-in-hand job, living in a kind of tenement building, kind of saying hello to her neighbours on occasions. And then she gets into quite a bit of trouble with some gangs. She doesn't agree with what they're doing. And then she deals with that in a vampire way and has to then escape Glasgow. And she's always wanted to go up north to Aberdeenshire. So Bram Stoker and the castle up there, she wants to like visit a whole load of areas where they're more accepting to her kind, with mythical creatures as well. And there's a lot in Scotland. So she goes up through kind of the Cairngorms, Loch Lomond, and ends up in Aberdeen, where she meets the kind of love of her life, which is the Fear Lieth, which is the Gaelic for the grey man, of Ben MacDhui. And he's a vampire, and they kind of fall in love, and Connor Murray, and he is kind of the grey man, but it's kind of a play on a bit of humour. He ghosts the top of Ben MacDhui, which is like the second, I think, largest mountain in Scotland underneath Ben Nevis. So he kind of scares climbers and then feeds on climbers that go to the summit. He's actually a well-known mythical creature in Scotland. So she meets him and they fall madly in love. And he says, well, why don't you come and kind of stay with me? And then there's a bit of a dilemma with his background. He's like a 300-year-old vampire who's got a bit of baggage. And there's a few kind of scraps and scrapes. And he shows her all different areas of Scotland that humans can't visit, but vampires can. It's described in my book with a lot of flair and And then they had this kind of a big battle at the end of the book, and then that leads on to my second book.
I'm really connecting you with
Yeah.
Sarah, you know, because usually you're
Yeah.
roped in cardiac, and
Yeah.
I think that she likes to save and help people,
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
I think he's more of the dramatic.
Yeah, Connor, is not like a vegetarian vampire, which is what I became because I was sorry, when I say I, it's my
You put yourself into Sarah's spot, yeah.
exactly. So I'm a vegetarian in real life, and I thought, well, I would like Sarah to bring that part of her humanity with her as a vampire. So she only feeds on animals, refuses to kill pets or endangered species. So it's basically kind of deer she lives on, and fish. And so Connor is the exact opposite. So he is more into kind of killing a few people, not too many, but to stand out, but to drinking their blood. And his eyes are like bright red, where mine are kind of a lot cooler amber, which is it's taken a bit off like the Twilight series. I wanted to, obviously, for, oh gosh, what do you call it? You can't name some things because they're trademarked,
Oh yeah, right.
but
Copyrighted.
copyrighted yet. So what I wanted to do was to take some of the things from Twilight. So he decides, you know, he loves Sarah so much that he's going to change. He's going to try and become like a vegetarian. And they do have some mishaps, and he sometimes can't deal with if there's an injured climber, is in my first book, or, you know, if there's too much blood. So he kind of has to disappear. And that kind of switches a bit in my second book, where he takes the lead on that and gives Sarah more support with that part of our vampire life.
Is so the characters remain the same? Do
Yes.
you add anything different to it, like any more, any extra characters that?
Yes. So my second book, the protagonist Sarah's the same, and there's Connor, and they have to go on a voyage to Shetland. So it's called Immortals Shetland. So they want to head up to Shetland, where there's a Opelia festival, which is a known Viking festival. They celebrate with torches and burning of a Viking ship. And this happens in, I think it's the last Tuesday of January every year. And the whole island, especially the main part of Shetland, they celebrate, and people come from all over the world to go there and lurk, and always say that name wrong. And there's cruise ships come in,
Yeah.
so they end up there with the wolvers, which are the half.
I was going to ask you, what is a wolfer?
So a wolver is a Shetland mythical creature, which it's changed over the years. There's no real mention of it before 1940, and there's a few reporters who, I can't actually remember her name, that's terrible, but she was a reporter, and she initially, they were thought of as like fairies, but she didn't want to think of them as fairies, so she called them wolvers. And they're like half wolf, half man. However, I've changed them slightly. So in my book, they're shapeshifters. So they're more wolves or human. And they are traditional fishermen. And they live on the coast, the north part of Shetland. And they fish and they live in the caves. And they're very, nice, and they're not like werewolves at all. They're more like the kind of wolf people that are in Ireland. Very generous, care for the poor, care for the sick. So they befriend Connor. They've known Connor since he was turned into a vampire, and they helped him transition. 300 years ago. And then they invite us up to a party in Shetland. And that's our journey. And there's on the way, we have to go underneath the North Sea, which is quite a rough ocean.
Uh-huh.
And there's like the Kraken. You might have heard of the Kraken. It's quite a well-known mythical creature. So they bump into the Kraken, and there's the Kelpies and the Selpies. They're all like cousins of mythical creatures that live under the sea or in the sea. Seal people, that when they come on land, they hang up their seal coats and turn into beautiful women. So they're part of my book.
How do you come up with your ideas? I mean, I've seen before you were saying you it's taken you years to write that first, because you're writing on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And a little scraps of paper. And that's basically what I did too.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you focused Sarah being yourself. I mean, a lot of traits of yourself, right?
My avatar, yeah.
Did you do that with Connor too?
Totally made up. Totally. I actually asked, my first book, I put a dedication into one of the girls I work with, because I asked her, I says, oh, give me a good Scottish strong male name. And she went Connor. And I says, why Connor? She goes, oh, that's my son's name. So that's why. And I wanted somebody who was the same, round about the same age. Connor's about 27. So round about the same age as Sarah, but he's 300 years older, in vampire years. Sarah's only about, when she meets him, is only about 5-10 years old in vampire years. So she has to learn a lot quickly.
This is a trilogy, right?
Yeah.
So you're gonna have a third book.
Yeah, I'm busy writing that now.
I got to give you credit, man. I mean, you got this second one out really quick. Like I probably should, but I'm looking for another year for my sequel to come out. I plan to do like a trilogy as well.
Okay.
But, it's taken like I said before, it's taken like 50 years to write this first one. I don't have that much time left for the to do that another 50. So
yeah.
So the third one, without giving too much away.
Yeah.
You have in your head already an ending plan for this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Any spinoffs from it maybe, or just leave that one?
I don't know. I don't know how authors let go of characters.
Right. It's sometimes say goodbye to a character. Yeah.
I don't think I can, Al. I think that would be really hard, because I feel like that part of me. I mean, not giving much away, but the whole thread through the trilogy is Sarah has these powers that are wanted by the royalty of the vampire clan. And she, throughout the books, she's in a dilemma, so she has to work out what she wants to do. She can't get out of eventually having to deal with this. And her powers are getting stronger. She doesn't know what her powers are, the perimeters. So she has to try and work that out. And that's a bit more in my third book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based a wee bit in Scotland, but most of it's going to be in Europe, like heading towards Italy. And there's a few things that happen that only vampires could survive. I'm not giving anything away. So, and then obviously she has to then face her fears and face perhaps not being with Connor forever, not having that happy ending, not being with the love of her life, and have to end it either in a way where she's having to be alone or die. So it's, I have it in my head what I want to do, and I'm probably about a third of the way through it, but it's still a draft. It's still very raw, very rough.
Break a lot of hearts out there that people follow your story, you know. You know, how could you do that, you know? So yeah, it's always a tough to end like mine, you know. Mine's on a true story, so it was tough when I had to take a break from writing, because it in my case, brought back a lot of memories of these actual people that did pass. You know, and I don't know about I don't know about the UK, but you know, we were always told, you know, they come in threes. You know, like death comes in threes. And ever since I heard that, that's a dog on your grandma. You know, so
Everything comes in threes, Al. So it's the dishwasher, the washing machine, and then the car.
Right. If something breaks down, it's like you're screwed.
Yeah.
So I was looking at you, you know, you being a, you worked in cardiac.
Yes, the heart ward,
And I don't know how much you dealt with that, you know, with a patient. Yeah. So when I read that, I'm thinking, and a little bit about who Sarah was and Connor. And so I'm thinking, well, and also adding different continents, you know, like the United States and Scotland. And then you say maybe the third one may head you into Italy. So that's pretty cool because you're targeting some different people, different areas of the world that will fascinate a lot of people, especially on a vampire theme.
Well, I also, it's hard because I want to talk about it, but it would give a lot away. But I also wanted Sarah to be like, I don't know if I can say kick-ass. Kick-ass vampire. So I just love the underdog, right? So I wanted Sarah to, I wanted something to do with a serial killer, right? So in my third book, it's a serial killer who wants to be seen as a vampire. He's notorious in the newsprint. And Sarah thinks, okay, so he thinks he's a vampire. We need to go after him and sort this out because, and then there's a bit of a twist. She likes to annihilate people. So I'm a very caring, Sarah's a very caring person. But if you get on the wrong side of her.
In other words, if you piss her off, you're going to have problems.
Yeah, definitely. She holds a grudge.
I kept thinking, I'm still saying I'll buy this book. You know, it's on my list over here. Yeah, so I'm going to get them both. So
if you do write a review, help.
I will write the review. If it comes in under my wife's name, then you know it's me. So.
Oh, well,
I'll let you know when I do. That's so cool that you're my first vampire person. So I've had everything else you can think of, you know, because you really can't put a vampire into a cryptid, you know.
Have you put that? Because I watched some of your podcasts and there was one about a crypt and because my head's been for the last few months. There was one about a crypt, but did you do a podcast about the vampire?
I did one about, the only one I did was about, I did one on the vampire crypt. Yeah.
Yes, that's the one.
That's what I was talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
That was so interesting.
Spooky.
Imagine, you know, you're thinking of Transylvania or you're thinking about Dracula. So that's what it reminded me of, man. You're driving into the cemetery, and it's a huge, huge, huge cemetery.
Yeah.
And I have no idea where this crypt is. It was just brought to me. And how weird is that? Because I'm in the area. I live in Ohio. I live in Ohio, but this is in Pennsylvania, not too far from me, about an hour, 2 hour drive. So I drove there, and my wife was with me, and she was not going to get out of the car. Especially after seeing the crypt that sat up on the, it's really hard to explain. In other words, I spotted it like maybe 200 yards away, and I'm like, that's it right there. It just looked like something a vampire could live in, you know.
Yeah.
And it's because it was like embedded back in the earth. And if I can, I'll send you some pictures of it. I will.
But was it a bit like the cemeteries you get in like New Orleans? Where they're above ground, the big crypts.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is the only one in there that I know of that didn't have any names on it. And I was asking the groundskeeper at the cemetery. Mm. He said, "Oh, there's so much activity here that we're thinking about putting, especially on Halloween, they bring in guards because people want to for some reason
deal."
Well, so a lot of them have a fascination, but then you have others just want to destroy stuff, you know, and that's why I was real leery on putting that one out, because people listen and people want to go deface stuff that they think it's funny to.
Yeah.
That place has so much history.
Yeah.
And I got out of the car and it was like 90 degrees outside. But when I touched I got near the crypt, it was like you're in an air conditioner. But yeah. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I was like, my wife, I'm not getting out of
the car. I've got shivers.
That was, then you come along with the vampire book. I'm like, wow, that's really cool, you know. And that's a good story, really.
I wanted my vampires to walk along the high street, being able to walk along the high street or be able to swing and jump over the city at night, or, you know, go under waterfalls or down to the bottom of a loch, which is 300 meters deep, Loch Moy, which is in the north of Scotland. And Nessie's cousin's supposed to live there, so that's a wee encounter. And, you know, just to make vampires, or my type of vampires, be more approachable, more real, rather than like a Bram Stoker kind of flesh
vampire. I can almost see your three-part series as a little mini-series.
Well, you know, that would be great.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, if anybody's interested.
Yeah, if they're interested, yeah, give you a call.
Yes, please.
Yeah, but those are always fascinating series, and you know, and you're talking about, you know, you're going from Seattle to Scotland.
Yeah.
So, and if I don't know if it's just me, or you can maybe say this is true or false, but you watch these old British shows, and they always have that fog that rolls in, and the, you know what I'm saying?
So, the west coast of Scotland is the dampest, dullest place, but that's why we're green, and people say they don't come to Scotland for the weather. You know, it's
probably the same scenery. Thing about Seattle, really. Seattle has that, they're known for their rain and coming in off the west coast, you know.
That's one place I want to go, Al.
Seattle?
Yeah, I want to go there. I've never been. I watched a lot of Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm totally on the other opposite coast. I'm over by Cleveland, Ohio, so.
Wow,
So I'm
much warmer.
Warmer, yeah. And then, but we get that jet stream that comes straight to us, you know. From, you see it in the west, it usually heads right up to us.
So do you get a lot of kind of winds, tornadoes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I live in Newton Falls, Ohio. So we were known, in 1985, we had one of the largest tornadoes to come through. It was an F5, and it was huge. It never left the ground for almost 50 miles.
Wow.
And it was so big. And luckily, thank God, there was nobody in this town. Well, I don't even live in a city. We're so small, we're a village. So nobody here was killed.
And could you see it? Could you see the tornado?
Oh, yeah. The people still talk about it. I didn't see it because at that time I lived in probably 15 miles from here.
Okay.
But my wife was working in another, because it went through so many counties and so many cities. Where my wife was working, there was rumors on that she worked at the mall, that the mall was hit, you know, and it was a big mall.
Wow.
So, and my wife was working that night. So here I am packing my kids up in a car and hit like I wouldn't have made a family of the year father, you know, putting my kids in that situation and driving them in the aftermath of a tornado. But it was so devastating.
That is scary. I mean, we get winds, but we don't get them anywhere near that. When was it? I think it was last year. We had, might be at the beginning of this year or just late last year, it was like 100 mile an hour winds.
Wow.
And it took down a few fences, and we have slates on our roof. So not like some of the states in America where it's just, they're not slates because of the winds. So we have tiles on the roof.
Oh, tile, yeah.
So tiles, they were coming off, and a lot of the fences went down, and there was a bit of destruction, but I don't think anybody was killed. But that's about it, really. We get a lot of rain, floods, but nothing dramatic like New Orleans, anything like that. But
yeah, that's on my bucket list to go out to out west from where I live. I want to go on the Route 66, the old Route 66 led through all the way to California. You know, so that's on my list. So
are you going to do that on a motorbike or on a camper van?
Probably a car, just drive. Oh. I'm going to drive it.
Winnebago.
Yeah.
Be a typical American.
Right. I wish I had a Volkswagen van. You know, the old ones.
Yeah. There's a Route 500. It's called in Scotland, 500 miles, and it's north of Scotland. And it's got beautiful views, and you can stop in picturesque parts and take photos. You could Google it. It's quite famous now. The problem is it's got so famous that there's so many people on it.
Hey God, that would be cool. Yeah. Does it go all along the coast? Or?
Yeah, that's it. The Route 5000.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a really cool area. I mean, and then naturally go down into UK where London is, and Liverpool, and
Liverpool's very similar to Glasgow. Very similar. Yeah, was there a few years ago, and I had to keep reminding myself that I'm not in Glasgow. But Aberdeen is the silver city. It's beautiful. It's made of granite.
There's a lot of reports coming my way out of northern Scotland with UFOs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I don't know if you've heard anything about that, you know, but that person just contacted me the other day. Well, when I say the other day, it's probably about 2 months ago, about UFOs, and the activity has really picked up.
You know, Al, it's funny you should say that, because one time me and my family were traveling up to Oban, which is a beautiful village just off the west coast. We're driving along, and there was three lights in the sky, three dots, and they were hovering. And I said to I was looking at them, and I'm thinking, is it my glasses? You know, shine off the glasses? Is it shine off another car light or something? And they never went away, and they stayed the same. And I said to my husband, I says, can you see those lights? And it was two at the top and one at the bottom. And they never disappeared. They stayed there the whole time. And the road up to Oban is like twisting, turning along the edges of the locks. And you go, you know, high and low. And it never changed.
Like I said before, I've never seen a UFO. I've never seen Bigfoot, you know, or a fae or anything like that. But
yeah.
I always, when my guests come on the show and I say, you're not going to believe this. And I said, well, I do, because, you know, you're telling me you don't believe in ghosts. Well, I grew up with a ghost. I grew up, you know, in those 4 years. 4 years, I could contest. I know what I seen, what I heard.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit there and say, how can I tell you a UFO don't exist or a Bigfoot don't exist when?
Yeah.
You could tell me the same
thing. See what you see. Yeah.
Right. And so especially now with all the evidence, even from the governments, not just the United States, but all around the world, governments are recognizing now that they do exist, you know. So
fascinating.
Great. Mm-hmm.
You can end up down a rabbit hole a while.
You could, right.
Certainly.
And especially not with AI. So AI has gotten so good. I could think of put a vampire sitting at the table with you having dinner, you know?
Yeah.
So you don't know what's real and what's not real. And it's kind of ruined it for like a lot of investigators that I know, because the true things that happen is going to be shoved under the rug because of fake reports.
And it's good fake. It's good fake.
Oh, that's a really good. They're so good now, it's like hard to tell what somebody's saying or not saying or doing. So, yeah. Well, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your stories. And I can't wait for book two to come out. And when book three comes out, we're going to have you back on again, you know, because and by then I'll have both those books, right? I promise. Or one and two anyway.
Oh, thank you very much, Al. I really appreciate you giving up your time for us. And I hope to see you soon. And look after yourself.
I will. Thank you. Al D. Robertson's books are available on Amazon. Book 1, Fear Lieth, Immortal in Scotland. Book 2, Immortals Shetland. I'm sure I'll have Al D. back on the show when Book 3 comes out of the trilogy. While you're in Amazon, pick up my book, Spencer's Ghost, The Guardian. Please leave a review for Al D. Robertson's books and for my book. We would greatly appreciate that. I'll see you next time on Ghost in the Valley podcast.